Hey, y'all. Thanks once again for tuning into another episode of Tights and Fights. Do y'all love me? Because I love you. If you love me the way that I love you, and if we're best friends forever, y'all know what you got to do. You got to go on iTunes.
Apple Podcasts.
And hit them fives. You got to go on there and hit all them fives. And then while you're hitting them fives, leave us a review like Nell Bear Pig, who says, we're like having friends and family over for drinks and to talk about wrestling. Oh, that's nice. I do accept bribes in the form of drinks. So thanks once again for listening to another episode of Tights and Fights. If you keep leaving those reviews, we might be able to get some merch. So do that. Hit them fives.
Excuse me.
Yes, leave it in.
Tights and Fights Podcast. It's the perfect wrestling podcast. There's a guy named Hal, and there's Danielle, and this guy, Mike Eagle, is there as well. Tights and Fights Podcast. Tights and
the Tights and Fights Podcast, Tights and Fights Podcast, Tights and Fights Podcast, it's Tights and Fights. Welcome to Tights and Fights, the show that discusses wrestling with the sincerity and hilarity that it deserves. I'm the Remarchitect, Hal Loveland. I'm joined today by my fellow members of the Nation of Conversation, the Hound of Social Justice, Danielle Radford.
What up?
And the one who's going to get a boat and sail away on a river of your cheers, Lindsay Kelk.
Why, hello.
We've got tons of news to talk about, from Neville's apparent departure to an apparent world title clash at Survivor Series, and what we especially loved from the week in wrestling. But first, let's talk about the final Raw before TLC. We learned early on that Braun versus Roman in a steel cage would have extra stipulations. Either Miz was removed from his team, or a fifth member would be added to Miz's team. We didn't know who that fifth member would be until this happened.
He's fired up. He's ready to go. Strowman not quite sure where he is.
Fired up. Ready to go.
What the? Oh, my God. Strowman off the distraction. And he can't be here. Is he here?
It's Libertarian Kane.
He should have come out dressed like Drew Gulak.
Kane is right. Kane came from out of the ring. What the hell is Kane doing here?
He's here to send people to hell and extol the virtues of personal liberties.
Kane's here to teach you that you can best help others by helping yourself.
Is the race done?
No, it's still going on.
Still going on.
So he just thinks this is a good thing in the... I mean, let's look at the political landscape of America today, people. Maybe this is a good thing.
Well, yeah. And it's also, I guess he's Mask Kane, so he can be like, during the day, I will be your mayor, and at night, I'll be a demon from hell who
when
fights other dudes to the death.
When I'm sending souls to hell by popping up out of the ring, that's different, you guys.
That's just a hobby.
Now let me kiss you, baby.
I like Kane. This probably sounds like I'm anti-Kane. I'm not. I like Kane. I think he's a fun performer. He still is able to have the same types of matches he's always had because he's a big, powerful dude, mm-hmm. and he plays that role well. Are you excited to see him in this match? What does he add? Because you already have Braun in there.
I guess some Kane.
He adds some Kane.
That's
we had zero Kane, and now we have 100% more Kane.
We have one more unit of Kane.
Yeah. I guess for me, I understand the idea behind... You mentioned it. I think Mike mentioned it. A bunch of people online I also saw who were like, you know, we're glad that the Shield is back, but is this really a big enough deal to justify at the pay-per-view?
Yeah.
If nothing else, he adds that extra like, oh, you know, where it's not just going to be the Shield running through dudes. I mean, the Shield's, you know, at this point, if you made the Shield lose, we would be like, oh, I get it. Although he's probably just there to eat the pin or whatever.
Yeah, to protect Braun.
Yeah.
He's
which
there
is
to
also,
Braun.
Which also,
yeah.
I mean, Braun needs some protecting.
Yeah.
He does. He does,
He still does.
He won the cage match, and it was another solid match, I thought, between him and Roman. Probably doesn't live up to their previous matches, but it had the great spot with the suplex off of the second rope.
Mm-hmm.
Another solid outing from the two of them. Does it feel like we're going to that? Well, at a certain point, they were Fight Forever, and then they broke them apart. And I think when you do that, because the background's not there like it was with Rollins and Ambrose, when they come back together, it doesn't feel like... It feels like he was just sort of added to the Shield
match. Yeah, well, even
when
they attacked him, when the Shield attacked Braun 2 weeks ago, last week, I was like, huh?
Right.
I was like, but why, though? And I get, like, they're like, yeah, we're just running through, guys.
And they'd all wrestle him.
Because we're the Hounds of Justice. Yeah, but I'm like, still just doing his job. Like, you guys, I thought you were Hounds of Justice, not Hounds of, like, Hound this guy who was just doing his job. But it's like, oh, we need to get him in this big old exciting match for no real reason.
It's also like, both of y'all volunteered to fight him. He didn't go back there.
Exactly.
And like, he was like, someone's got to fight me because my job is to fight people. Yeah. And they were like, we will be the fight out, stop out, stop out.
And I fully.
And now it's like, that's his fault somehow?
Yeah. Is he the heel? Is he just a guy? I'm so confused. But hey, why not? Let's throw some Kane into the mix because it's Halloween. Like, what?
I can't handle the Halloweenness of Raw right now. I can't do it.
Oh, we're gonna do a deep dive into that bullshit. But I want to talk.
How deep?
So deep, put your ass to sleep.
Yes.
So I want to talk for a second. The top of the show, they come out through the crowd. They're wearing the vests. They come out to the Sierra Hotel India, Echo Lima Delta.
That pleased me.
I feel like watching it, they should have saved the Shield's entrance for TLC and not had them.
Yes.
And they come down and, like, threaten Kurt Angle. Like, all of a sudden, Roman Reigns is acting like a heel because he's got his two buddies, but they're cheering for him because he's actually a face because he's in the Shield. Like, what?
Oh, wow.
It just doesn't. The logic of this reunion is getting lost on me because they're giving away the big moments on free TV.
Yeah.
And now, like, all there's left at the pay-per-view is for them to win, which seems like the logical conclusion. They're not going to bring them together to lose. That would make no sense.
Hey, maybe there's some extra thing that's going to happen. That
maybe another guy. Maybe it'll be a 6-on-3.
Yeah, maybe.
Maybe Punk will come back.
Oh, there you go.
But, you know, maybe there'll be another thing.
Ryback.
He's not doing anything else.
He's probably working on another book, telling women wrestling fans that we're crazy. Oh,
yeah.
He's fun. What a good time. So, for me, I've long let go of the logic of this. I'm just enjoying it for what it is. There's no logic to the Shield reunion. The Shield reunion happened because Shield reunion is a cool thing, and I'm going to... until it gets to the point where it becomes just, like, stupid or ridiculous. I'm hyped on it right now. I can float on a cloud of this not making sense that will take me through for at least another, like, at least through TSC.
Can it get you to Survivor Series? Because it's going to need to.
Oh, yeah.
It can get me...
I mean, you're excited about the holidays. You have a lot going on outside of wrestling. Yeah. Maybe it will. Maybe it will get us all there.
Your life will boo you.
It will at least, this pink cloud of happy that I'm on with wrestling right now, and it's a big pink cloud. It's been a good wrestling week. This goodwill for them will at least last another 2 weeks.
Okay. Again, it's not upsetting. It just is confusing to me.
Yes.
I don't have the same, and we talked about this last week, I don't have the same attachment to the Shield because I came in at the tail end of their initial run.
Yeah.
I like all three guys. I understand how popular they were. And I've gone back and watched a lot of their stuff. But I wasn't there to have as much of an impact. I get how big this is.
You know, the thing about a reunion is you have to have cared about the union. And if you didn't care about the union, then...
But it also...
it's not like it was that long ago, you know? It's,
right.
Know.
It's just creatively... this is me Monday morning quarterbacking, which is what all fans do.
Yeah, this is the podcast...
Yes.
That's what we do.
This in particular just stupefies me because it feels like they're giving away money.
Yeah. I'd like to see the working. You know, it's like I'd just like to know, which is a pointless thing to say because all I'm doing is setting myself up for sadness, is, hey, you guys in the back, what's the plan? Which is just something you should never say to the guys in the back.
Sure. Speaking of important things. Super important. This comes from the Lublin Swing Like a Pendulum Do department. I'm done with Finn Balor. I'm completely done. I don't want to see him on TV anymore. I don't want to watch him wrestle another match, especially not with that fucking makeup on his face. I think he is a very talented worker. I think he is good in short and focused promos. If I have to hear about the backstory of the demon or a legend from his hometown one more time, I am going to throw my television out of the window like it's the opening credits of SCTV. It is going to fall from the top of the building and hit the ground below and explode. I'm over Bray Wyatt. I can't. And the seasonal.
I
like seasonal skins.
Don't Halloween pumpkin him. That was David
that's
Pumpkin.
That's so weird.
It's the Great
Why
Pumpkin, Charlie Brown.
I'm so.
This is not to tell it. We don't need to sell an extra t-shirt at www.shop.com. His demon makeup is his demon makeup. That's what it is. That's what his thing is. Please don't pumpkin-fy him just because it's Halloween.
Finn is sexy. The demon is sexy. I don't know what the fuck that was.
Jack Skellington is not sexy.
Yeah, that was like a kid getting face paint at the Autumn Day Fair.
It looks like I did it, guys. Yeah. And it's beyond my skills. I agree, and I'm sad that I agree. I love Finn, and I will watch Finn bounce around, pop his collar, wave his little trunks all day long.
The terrible finisher.
I think he's such a fun... Yes, I know, but the rest of his matches are so great. I love to watch his matches.
Yes.
And they're fun. You never know. He's working with the right people. He just puts on the best matches. I love watching him. I don't want to watch this
match. I think the demon would have worked very well in the 80s. I think it would have worked very well up until like 1995, 96 in WWF. WCW, they probably would have, I mean, they had fucking RoboCop out there.
Oh, no.
They would have done anything.
This is definitely some Thursday night thunder fucking bullshit.
Yeah. if anybody sold the demon, the character, the way Triple H sold Cactus Jack in 1997... Mm. Then I would have no problem with the demon, but nobody does. Nobody does. There's no respect for it.
We should be super psyched when someone brings out their special power, right?
Right.
Or they do.
Yeah.
And for me personally, like, I would rather watch a Finn match than a demon match.
Me too.
And I maybe it's not for us. Maybe it's for the little kids that are buying the demon action figures. But that's my issue with the demon is, like, I'm not psyched to see it. I'm not like, oh, this adds more to it to me. I would rather just watch badass leather jacket Finn pop his collar and kick you in the face. Like,
yeah. I've decided that I'm just going to lean into how fucking awful this is. I'm just leaning into it.
I'm going to lean into it.
It's going to be ridiculous. Please bring back the projector. It's in the ring.
I want it to be like watching a wrestling match during a ghetto production of Sleep No More. Like, this is all it needs to be for me.
Have Finn come in the ring and go, oh, hi, Mark. Like, that's where we are right now.
He did not.
And you know what?
He
I love
did.
That movie.
Did not.
I'm so surprised that we all love that movie.
Let's talk about Alicia Fox.
Yes,
who is finally getting to show off her crazy side much more now. It feels like they're developing that character. Had a great backstage brawl with Sasha Banks. I was going to put
she
it over,
it.
But it was so long. I was like, I wouldn't want to cut just a section out of this. It's great. And I love that she sells things by going, ow!
I know. I loved like when the ref is like, you can't do that. You can't do that. And she's like, you're not my dad. You're not my mom.
Yeah.
like a kid on Jenny Jones. Like, you don't know me.
I love that.
You can't tell me what to do.
Do you think she's at a, do you think she can be built to a point where she could have a title run theoretically?
I think, if they wanted to.
Yeah.
Anything's, but I mean, Jinder Mahal's
t-shirt.
Champ.
Like, I've done everything I can do.
You ordered the t-shirt?
I ordered the t-shirt because she needed my dollars.
She does need your dollars.
So,
she
does like,
need
I your won't dollars. Eat tomorrow, but that's fine because she needs that.
Let's also talk about Mickie James' promo where she actually referred to some of the stuff Bliss has been saying about her.
I have a 3-year-old little boy at home waiting for me. And when I tell you that he is the light of my life, he is my everything. It's the greatest feeling in the world. But you know what would be one of the greatest feelings in my entire career?
Hold on. Pause it, Julian. You edited that because she had a brain fart in the middle there where it looked like somebody like...
Because what I thought it was, she almost said, do you know what would be even better?
Right.
She maybe like herself and then be like, oh shit, no, that sounds terrible.
You're not allowed to say what would be better than my kid.
You know what would be better than the birth of my child?
Even though everyone thinks it's all the time.
All those people watching like, I don't care about your kid. Are you going to win this match?
I want to say she is, but I don't know if she is. You know, her matches are solid. She looks confident in the ring. I don't see why she wouldn't be able to. There's no part of it that feels like she's especially an underdog.
Yeah, I just feel like going into Sunday, I want the challenger. When we're in a situation where it's pretty clear the challenger is going to lose just because they're going to save Alexa for Asuka.
I know, guys. Who wouldn't rather watch Mickie and Asuka?
Totally. But I think I want Mickie to feel a little more dominant because you want your chicken shit heel to actually be afraid of the person
she's
facing other than just being a mean girl to her. So I think that we've been talking about how there have been a lot of misfires in the angle of
attack. Well, I think it's been, if anything, it's been very reductive for Alexa's character rather than bad for Mickie's. I think it's been bad for Alexa. Alexa, who's been this awesome mean girl, but She hasn't been a mean girl at the expense of anyone else. It's been like, I'm the best. I'm the goddess. Great. Thanks for showing up, you guys. But I'm the best and I now am in charge of everything. Whereas now they have reduced her to this, like, you're an old lady who needs depends.
Yeah. I do think that part of the good thing about that is that when she gets her head smooth the fuck kicked off,
It's going to be
even better.
Yeah.
Like, because you do have this, because you're right. Like, she is going to be destroyed by Asuka.
Yeah.
And now that she's an even worse person, because I hated all that stuff. I wasn't a fan of it. But yeah. When she gets thoroughly destroyed by someone who, what, Asuka's the same age as Mickey,
she's
maybe
a year younger
than Mickey.
What about?
And Asuka kicks her teeth in. That's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
All right. Before we get to SmackDown, Danielle, last week was the penultimate episode of Lucha Underground. You can give a quick summary if you like. Was it any better than the prior week?
It was.
Okay.
It was. I enjoyed it. Because it had, like, the standouts for me were there was a Sexy Star and Taya match, which is weird to watch now just because of, like, all the stuff that happened.
Right.
But it was a fantastic match. Taya, as per usual, gave it, like, everything. And she did really, really great. And it's weird because now it's, like, everything's colored by what's happened since.
Yeah.
And so even though I know this was taped a whole-ass relationship ago, like, there are moments when you're like, yeah, pin the fuck out of her. Pin her, pin her, pin her. Where it's like, I've always appreciated her, but now it's like, yeah, pin her. And so we're getting ready for, I believe next week is the last week. Prince Puma's like kind of, he's been getting ready to go and do all this stuff. And then all of a sudden, fucking Darth Vampito comes back and is like, I'm going to teach you some shit or whatever. So I'm always, Vampito being like Emperor Palpatine is my favorite fucking thing in the world. And that's totally like him coming out and being like, yeah, like I'm fucking Vampito. And it's like, shut up, Ian. But it's still really, really fun. And so, yeah, I'm just, this episode was definitely more enjoyable for me than last week. Last week was just like, it was too much. I don't care about hair versus hair matches. Like, I don't care about a lot of that stuff. This was like, I like goofy more than like if you're going to do the bloody, the Hell of War was all the bloody that I like wanted. I'm sure the next episode will be bloody, but it's the last one, so it's kind of okay. But yeah, no, I'm excited. And it was good. And again, we got fucking crazy Palpatine Ian. It's dope. Palpatine.
Palpatine.
Palpatine. Oh, goodness. All right, on to SmackDown, where WWE Champion Jinder Mahal has two competitors lurking on the horizon. AJ Styles, who's up next for a title match, and a challenge issued by Jinder Mahal for a match with Universal Champion Brock Lesnar at Survivor Series. I'll tell you what, this week, despite the Shield coming through the crowd, which I get is a major moment, I would argue that SmackDown was a better show than Raw. And I think that the promo that Mahal gave is the best one he's done in his entire run as champion. Like, he hit the right notes. It wasn't about xenophobia. It was about him being a privileged champion who looked down on everybody and said, you are going to worship me.
Yes.
Because I'm so great. Like, that's the Jinder Mahal I think that we've been hoping for around these parts. And I think we finally got it. And the entire promo with AJ Styles was exciting. Now, he's going to get his ass kicked by Brock Lesnar.
Hmm.
How did you guys feel about that segment, about AJ Styles being the next challenger and about Brock Lesnar being his next big match at Survivor Series, assuming that gets booked?
It doesn't bother me. I don't have any real, I like what he's doing now. I don't really have strong feelings about it.
It made me sad that the Money in the Bank briefcase is not still in the mix, because if someone else had it and that was still a real thing and then he fought Brock Lesnar, I'd be like, oh, we're getting a cash in, you guys. But we're not getting a cash in, you guys. We're maybe getting a match where he's just going to get murdered to death on TV in front of us.
Well, the Bollywood boys are going to take all the big bucks.
For fuck's sake, can they just fuck off? I'm sorry, I try really hard.
You got the most English you've ever gotten on here.
That's the most British.
Would one mind fucking off? go away. They're not doing anything. They're not adding anything. They're rolling around laughing on their backs is getting so, I want to punch them in their faces.
Isn't that the point as a heel, though?
Yeah, I know, but I don't think it adds to him. It's the clowniness, like you say. I don't think that builds him up. I think that just makes him look dumb.
Do you think that AJ Styles will be the guy to bring good matches out of Jinder Mahal if anybody can do
it? One can hope. I mean, he can do it.
Yeah.
It's whether or not he will do it or be able to do it with what they're given.
I'll tell you what. I think that Jinder going to India and that trip that he took,
which obviously was very important,
has done wonders for his character and will continue to. I think a light turned on, and I think Styles will help guide him along to help him work a variation of his style and be a little more adaptable.
Do you think they keep the belt on him, having already done the India trip, which is presumably... Yeah,
I mean, they talked about they're doing a tour there on the 8th and 9th of December, something like that.
So he's keeping it for
a
while.
And he'll be the first Indian champion to defend there.
Yeah.
So he'll hold on to it at least that long, maybe till Royal Rumble, maybe till Mania for Shinsuke. Who knows? Who knows? I would keep it on him for a while. Yeah. I would. I would just keep it on him.
And he's definitely surpassed anything I thought he was going to do with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Let's talk about the thing that made SmackDown the best show of the week by far. If this was the only thing, and the Usos had a great promo with Gable and Benjamin. Although, can we get a second mic when there are five people there? Because Renee's got little T-Rex arms. It's not fair for her to keep reaching. We got 10% of what Shelton Benjamin said, because it was like, yeah, I'm going to tell you right now what's going on over there. Now I'm going to come over here. We're going to talk for a second. And I'll tell you right now, we're going to tell you this important thing that I said. So the greatest thing of all was Sammy and Kevin, whose friendship seems like it will carry them all the way to the end of time. Here's a clip.
We are SmackDown Live, and there is nothing you, or anybody back there can do about it.
I'm so happy.
My name is Kevin Owens. This is Sami Zayn, and he is my best friend.
You have to wonder if this tune will change next week with the return.
Shut up, Michael.
Hold me tight.
Hold me tight. Never let me go.
I can't. I have so many feelings. I have so many emotions. There is nothing more beautiful than the smile that those guys get when they are working together. And when they actually just get to be buds and be like, you can see, like, legit, obviously, at some point, sad things are going to happen. But I'm not thinking about that right now.
That's far away. It's never going to happen. Don't look directly at it.
Friends forever. But, like, you can see how psyched Kevin is to, like, when he fucking got that pin on fucking Randy, you can see how excited Kevin was. They were doing that thing. Yeah. He's holding him all the way up the ramp. He's singing his fucking music. He's like, hold me tight.
That was my favorite thing.
Sammy gets so excited, smiling, and Sammy's entrance still works, which I knew it would. I knew that if he just danced douchier.
No, he's just like a rude boy asshole. It's great.
Yeah. You just turn it up and just turn that from being...
Smug grin, big smirk, keep on going.
Like, you go from, I'm dancing because I love wrestling and the music and you guys, to like, I'm dancing because I love me.
Yep, exactly. Oh, it's so
good.
These
like the dudes that would like skank into your boobs.
My bad.
Yeah, but you're wrong, Hal. It wasn't the best thing that happened on SmackDown this week. It was the best thing that happened in any of our lives ever.
Yeah,
the
correct.
Entire world.
But ever.
When they came back out. Yeah. Fuck that kid. No, when they came back out, when they obviously hadn't run the show long enough, and Nakamura and Randy were like, why is the camera still on us? What is happening here?
I know, Shinsuke
came
like had
back
this
out
thing.
And did the extra promo.
Shinsuke got this look on his face when they come out. He literally was like, what?
I fully thought he was looking at Randy like, how did you fuck this up, Orton? Like, what did you do? I know this was you, because I know it wasn't me, because I'm a fucking professional.
Yeah.
And then they came back out onto the ramp, and it was magical.
I'll tell you what. If you want a textbook look at the proper motivation for a heel turn, you can look at Mick Foley in ECW, and you can look at Sami Zayn Tuesday night.
That was
such a good promo.
The
two of them... insulting Daniel Bryan for anybody, even somebody like me who admittedly is like 90% WWE, WWF mark, I understood what they were talking about and I understood the history between those three guys.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you didn't have a good grasp on that, it was so apparent Like how much everybody believed what they were saying, and Daniel Bryan sold it so well.
Amazing.
It was off the charts.
Even when he just walked off and they were like, where are you going? It was like, oh, I'm going to go find two guys to punch you in the face.
So good.
It felt so natural. And Daniel Bryan often feels a little stilted in those scripted segments, but he was clearly having the time of his life.
And they could have done this anywhere and it worked, but the fact that they did it in fucking Seattle.
Yeah.
The fact that they did do it in front of the crowd that he's had to give every sad flannel speech in front of. So,
many sad flannel speeches.
On to some smaller things for the week. Does it bother you that there's only one match on Sunday that involves tables, ladders, or chairs? Or are you just excited there isn't a stairs match this year?
Oh, fuck the stairs.
Fuck the stairs. No, I don't. I only need one. And because I feel like what happens is that when they do these big kind of like big theme pay-per-views and they feel like everyone has to do the theme, you're getting half of a match because people are like, they're wrestling safer matches so that they can get ready for the spots, but they're not going to do all the spots they could do because you know the best ones are going to come at the end. So it never feels super satisfying anyway. So I'd rather have a bunch of regular ass, good, solid pay-per-view matches, and then one fucking balls out, crazy, weird tables, ladders, and chairs, no stairs match.
I'd like to see more ladders. My hand is up because I hate people and want the world to burn. I like ladder matches because it's that thing like when you see someone go head first over their head handlebars on a bike on a video and you know they're okay because it's a video and you've been framed, but you also know they really could have got hurt. That's the same mentality for ladder matches.
They're not always okay.
They're mostly okay. They got $150 for their home video, so it's okay. But like it's that, like the ladder match, was it WrestleMania 2 years ago, the ladder match that opened
the Intercontinental, the one that Daniel Bryan won?
And I just loved that so much.
It was a great match.
And it makes me always want to see ladder matches when there's a potential ladder match.
All right, this is just a yes or no. We'll go around, we'll each give our expert opinion. Sin Cara, is there any chance on earth they're going to book him to go over Baron Corbin for that title at any point? Danielle?
No.
Hey, if you have any thoughts on the week in wrestling, let us know about it at facebook.com/group/tightsfights or at tightsfights on Twitter. When we come back, we'll take a look at Neville's presumed departure from WWE and what it means for the cruiserweights. They still exist. Up next on Tights and Fights.
Judge John Hodgman ruled in my favor.
Judge John Hodgman ruled in my friend's favor.
Judge John Hodgman ruled in my favor.
I'm Judge John Hodgman. You're hearing the voices of real litigants, real people who have submitted disputes to my internet court at the Judge John Hodgman podcast. I hear their cases, I ask them questions, they're good ones, and then I tell them who's right and who's wrong.
Thanks to Judge John Hodgman's ruling, my dad has been forced to retire one of the worst dad jokes of all time.
Instead of cutting his own hair with a Flowbee, my husband has his hair cut professionally.
I have to join a community theater group.
And my wife has stopped bringing home wild animals.
It's the Judge John Hodgman podcast. Find it every Wednesday at MaximumFun.org or wherever you download podcasts.
Thanks, Judge John Hodgman.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Hal Lublin, and I'm joined in the booth by
Danielle Radford
and
Lindsay Kelk.
We've talked before about how Neville had become the most consistently good part of the Cruiserweight division after he reinvented his character for the new platform. He delivered tons of great moments in the last year, from his strong matches to his fun promos like this one.
I broke my ankle just 3 weeks out from the big one, and I was robbed of my very first WrestleMania moment. But more than that, I looked around and I noticed nobody cared. And as the months went by, I made the realization that I had been forgotten by each and every one of you. But I obliterated an entire division to remind everybody just how good I am.
Yeah.
So now there are many indications that Neville has asked for his release from the company, just as he was in the middle of the best part of his run in WWE. So Neville's not confirmed that he's leaving, right? But with many of his peers reacting to it, it's fair to speculate. So on that note,
Do you find it surprising someone like Neville would want to leave the cruiserweight division even though he was arguably its biggest star?
No.
No, I'm not surprised. It makes me really sad for him because I think he loves wrestling. We know he loves wrestling, right? He fought and fought and fought to get to WWE and then he finally got there and then... Meh. I think it's bad. It's bad.
It is bad. And I think WWE has historically done a poor job of featuring cruiserweights. They've never really known what to do with them. This just feels like a confirmation of a lot of the suspicions that we've had, that WWE only cares about the cruisers to a certain point and they don't really want to let them go too far as performers. So the tournament does extremely well, so they spin them off into their own show that tapes after people have sat through 3 hours of wrestling, and they, it's not buried on the network. Nothing is buried on the network, really. But it feels like when they show it on Raw, there were a couple cruiserweight matches on Raw, and for each one, they had to give so much exposition because even they're assuming you know, not only do you know nothing about this, you know, it's normal for them to reset and show you a package, but this just feels like you might not know why these people are wrestling. You also might not know these people. So now we have to take you through the hard work that they've been doing for weeks to show you a match that the crowd will not be into because they just don't know what's going on. They don't know who anybody is. They don't know why they should care. It's just not, it's integrated into the shows, but it's really not.
I don't think this is just about them not being able to do the cruiserweights. It's also about WWE has actual competition now in the form of the indies.
Yep.
For the first time in forever.
You think so?
Yes.
I really feel like
you think for talent. It's a competition for talent, but not for money.
No, I think Cody Rhodes like turned, like opened a faucet this weekend with that promo he cut. Did anyone see the Ring of Honor Global Wars promo that Cody cut?
Yep.
Saying that he's the biggest draw in wrestling now and basically openly addressing Roman Reigns.
And then Roman went off on Twitter about it.
And then he came back. So it's been like, Cody, I feel like, acknowledged something that is true. There is now another option where you can make a living outside of WWE. I think it's a real issue. It draws attention to that because they know they have options now. And it also talks to, not even WWE, but main roster's inability to develop the storylines for these guys because Neville NXT was a success. Neville NXT was an entirely different character. They bring him up.
Yeah, and so it's not just...
And then they shove him in the cruiserweights.
Yeah, it's not just the cruiserweights. Like, Neville has not, like, he's had moments that have been beautiful and that have either been beset by injury or weird writing since he has come up from NXT, but he has never been the performer that he should be since NXT.
The fact that Vince legitimately tried to turn him into Mighty Mouse.
Yeah, because what, he's got ears
he's
or whatever?
Small and he's got ears.
He's small.
Let's put a cape on him.
Yeah, I have not seen the GWF promo. I'm sure it's great. I love Cody. He's super talented. I think to a certain point, you come and cut those promos to get yourself over.
Absolutely.
Well, you've cut
you
every promo to get them yourself
exactly.
You have to,
but I mean, you have to remind.
All this stuff we're seeing with Jimmy Jacobs being fired because being involved with Bullet Club. They're threatened by Bullet Club. And if they're threatened by Bullet Club, they're threatened by what's happening outside themselves for the first time in a very long time.
Yeah, it means that they're threatened by the indies.
Sure.
They're threatened, again, it's what I talked about when we talked about, you know, whether or not it is petty that they tried to do the Too Sweet thing. Mm-hmm. By the way, they put up a video that was like, oh, it was like a WWE 2K18 video that was like, wouldn't it be too sweet if this was the Shield's entrance and they had the Shield come into their music but doing the fucking...
Too Sweets, throwing up
some Two Sweets in 2K18. So, like, you can't tell me that they're not. This is what happens when, again, you get to a point where your shirts are selling out in malls across the country. Like, it's not just pro wrestling tees. It's not just, you know, VFW
the highest calls. The biggest selling t-shirt in Hot Topic. They're getting Funko Pops next year, Bullet Club. Like,
oh, wow.
There is a living to be made, and it's a good living.
I believe that. I'm not.
It's a hard living, but WWE is hard, too.
If that's out there, then what is there in the cruiserweight division to keep those guys there?
Well, I mean, look at what happened in WCW, right? So they had Benoit, Guerrero, Malenko, Jericho, Mysterio. They had all the Juventud Guerrero. They had all these great cruisers who helped set their product apart. All those guys left. Because there was a ceiling. Cruiserweight divisions, by their definition,
are putting a ceiling on the performers.
Well, just by calling it the division as well instead of calling it the belt, I think that's what's so limiting.
Right.
Is you're literally ring fencing them in, and you're saying you're not allowed to do anything else. You can't be a tag team. You can't compete as a tag team. You can't go compete for the IC belt. You can't be in this or in that. You are in this box. You're not getting out of it. Why should I care? Why should I be invested? Like, they're not. You can't evolve a new character if they're not engaging with my current favorite characters. You've asked me to buy into this whole new brand new box of toys when I'm like, I get my new toy. I want to play with it with my ultimate favorite toy.
Yeah, why can't they all be X-Men? How come these guys have to be new mutants? I don't understand.
I want to see these guys mix up. And we've seen that work with Neville. You bring Enzo in, you bring Neville in. It elevates everyone because they're suddenly in a landscape you recognize and understand. I think it's the ring posting, the ring fencing them in and segregating them from the rest of the roster that is so damaging to them as a storyline.
And we've already gotten NXT where that's happening, where a lot of the guys are smarter and more nimble and doing a lot of the things that are typically what you look for in a cruiserweight division. I think most of us kind of were hoping that the cruiserweight division would become an extension of NXT, kind of like in an idea and in plotting
and
like in planning.
A super indie on the main roster.
Yeah, and it just didn't wind up being that way, unfortunately, because even with NXT, everybody was kind of still playing with each other and everybody was kind of still buds, you know?
Sure. And I think you both are hitting it on the head. There's no way that it's integrated. I mean, Matt Hardy was a cruiserweight champion, I'm pretty sure. Mm-hmm. He was also a hardcore champion, a European champion, a tag champion, obviously, but also an ECW world champion.
Yeah.
Christian was a light heavyweight champion, or there was a whole show about him contending and trying to lose weight. Mm-hmm. Those people were mixed in.
Yeah.
Crash Holly was the ultimate of the light heavyweights, even though he was super heavy.
Are the Singh brothers like still on 205 or no?
No.
What? Because how much more interesting would they be? You talk about how clowny they are. How much more interesting would they be if they were both like these valet fucking heat-seeking missiles for Jinder, and you also got to see them wrestle
see
dudes
them wrestle,
on 205 Live?
And carry that over and just be like, our guy is the champion. Like, watch us kill your ass now.
Make him do like a lay cool where they're co-champions.
Yeah.
Right? You can do
We have the iconic duo now, so we don't need Lay Cool anymore.
Here's the balance,
it's
though.
It's not the same. I'm going to say it.
Here's the balance, though, as a final point to this. Yes, there is competition, and there are people selling a bunch of shirts in Hot Topic, and that's great. And they're making a ton of money. You can make a living as a wrestler in the independent circuit. You don't have to be in WWE.
A good living, too.
However, the WWE is the major league of wrestling. For a lot of these guys who are cruisers, this is a big deal for them to make it to this roster. They're probably making some of their best money now, I would guess.
Some of them,
and for some of these international stars, they're getting a platform that they wouldn't get anywhere else.
Mm-hmm.
If you put Akira Tozawa in Ring of Honor, him being there doesn't give him a national platform. It just means the people who like Ring of Honor see him. This is a wider platform. So there's the counterbalance.
Right.
Does that outweigh...
But
how poorly they're handled.
Some dudes want to be a star. And if that means, you know, leaving and being big fish in small pond until I get a chance to get back into what is the biggest of the fish and be like, look what I can do. Look at the money that I made on my own without you. Imagine how well we could do together. Imagine, you know, or even just, hey, are you sure you want me as competition when you can just treat me as, you know, the big little dog that I am.
And then some guys just genuinely don't want to go back. And I think a lot of them get treated so poorly and they feel as though they've been so mishandled and mistreated and misused that I think it's awesome that there is an option for them now, that they're still getting people, they're getting eyes on them, they can make a living, they can go to Japan, they can do Ring of Honor, they can do the indies, and it's now an option for these people.
Yeah. Some people want to wrestle.
Yeah, you've got your Joey Ryans, you've got your Kenny Omegas, Young Bucks. I'm not saying Young Bucks, although looking less likely, but Young Bucks, Kenny Omega, maybe they'll never come over. Joey Ryan's not knocking down the door. Colt Cabana's not going to come at this point. But they've made a living and they've made a life for themselves, and that's awesome.
Yeah, like some people want to do it because they love the wrestling and they like the paycheck and they like being in the WWE, and they're okay with, they'll try to do the brass ring whenever the brass ring stuff comes up. They trust that it's going to happen for them and they're going to push. And then some people are always going to be the people who are like, you know what, I'm going to stop putting my career in these guys' hands, and I'm going to put it in mine because I think I can do a better job.
You have to bet on yourself. How many wrestling podcasts have you heard when a guy says at one point, you have to bet on yourself?
There are other
Otherwise,
ones?
You're Dolph Ziggler.
There are
some.
Fine.
I've never heard of this other wrestling podcast.
Well, it's fine. If you've got any thoughts on Neville and the future of 205 Live, let us know about it at facebook.com/group/TiceFights or at TiceFights on Twitter. When we come back, it's time for three things we loved from wrestling. Up next on Tights and Fights.
Hey, you, with the headphones. Just between you and me, the Max Fun store just got some of that sweet, sweet new merch in stock. You know, that merch from your favorite Max Fun shows? Could be posters, tote bags, shirts, stickers, patches, aprons. We got it all. Well, we got a lot. Point is, there's some new stuff. Go to MaxFunStore.com.
Tights and Fights Podcast. Tights and Fights.
Welcome back to Tights and Fights. I'm Hal Loveland, and I'm joined today by
Danielle Radford
and
Lindsay Kelk.
Every week we end the show by sharing some of the joy of pro wrestling with you. This is the Three Count.
One, two, three.
Danielle, you're up first. What do you want to put over?
Okay, I'm putting over just the absolute weirdest, pettiest thing I've seen in a long time. So a seamstress, gear maker for WWE named Julie Youngberg, went on Twitter as a response. Someone said something. Let me go back and see. So someone tweeted something about like, oh, wouldn't it be fun if like another person was Matt Hardy or if like a third person was Matt Hardy in one of the matches? And she was like, she said something along the lines of, wouldn't it be fun if Matt Hardy was dead? Or I wish Matt Hardy was dead or something like that. And so, of course, Reby saw it. I don't think she added anybody, but of course, Reby saw it. And apparently that family has had beef with her for forever, ever. And you can Google it. There's some stuff where she thought she got hacked. She used to be married to one dude. Then they got a divorce because I think Reby revealed she was cheating on him with another dude. At one point in this argument, Reby tells her that her pussy stank. Like, it is so incredibly petty. And I don't know anything. I do know that if I had a significant other and one of their coworkers, because she is a coworker, one of their coworkers was like, I wish this person was dead, I'd probably say something about it. But I don't really have sides in this. It's just like, if you like tea and you like drama, go check out that Twitter thing.
If anything was going to get Taylor Swift into wrestling, this is it.
Yeah.
This is the one.
Yeah, this is just tea and just drama. There's nothing good or life-affirming in this. It's just like if you have one of those moments where you're like, I want to see some petty shit go down, this is the petty shit for you.
We all do.
Lindsay?
I have two, but they're both very quick. One is I just wanted to say I'm going to put over Nikki Bella because my friend has been working on Dancing with the Stars and he made her sign a birthday card for me.
Aww.
And she did it with a smile and hope. She wishes that all my dreams come true.
Aww.
So I was like, hey, Nikki Bella, that was really nice of you. You didn't have to do that for a full-grown man, for a full-grown woman. So like that was very good of you.
Aww.
I'm not a child dying of cancer, but she did it anyway. And the thing that I really, really want to put over is obviously Pulp Fashion. Back with a bomb this week. I loved it this week. I keep thinking every time it's going to not be good, and then it's good again. Did you see the board with all the Mr.
Yes.
Pinks and the Mr. Blues and the mm-hmm. different pictures?
All
of
the different Cena's.
Oh, yeah. It's the little things like that about that segment that kills me every time. Put a belt on these guys. Do something with these guys, please.
No kidding.
That's not the Game Bludgeon Brothers.
Mostly just be friends with the Ascension. Do it, do it, do it, do it.
Say
those poor sweet boys.
I know.
Say something. We can help. On one condition. The two of you promise to be our friends. Okay, okay, all right, all right. Vic, you gotta stab him with this. You have to be precise, because if not...
What even was it? It looked like one of those,
It was a mayo needle. It was a mayo
squeezy
bottle.
It was either one of those things you do get sour cream from a Taco Bell, or it was like something
It was a pump. It was a sports pump, I think.
I thought it was full of mayonnaise.
No, I think it was painted white.
Either way.
Oh, I just assumed it was one of those things like when you go to a piano bars and a lady comes by and is like in a nurse's outfit and is like, I'll put this in your mouth. And I'm like, I don't know you or where that's been. Like, I know you've been putting that in everyone's mouth all night because that's how this
works. I'm going to need three more drinks before we have that conversation.
Yeah, and it's not $20 worth of booze.
Not interested in getting hepatitis Z. I'm going to put over something from Raw, Cowardly Kurt Axel.
Yay.
Let's hear it.
Then go find him.
Now? I mean, I can't do it. I mean, I'm not prepared. I'm in my suit. I can't do it now.
Sounds like you're scared of Roman Reigns.
Scared.
You know, a fifth member of our team wouldn't be afraid to take on Roman.
Y'all are dicks.
All right. I feel bad that he's all not right. going to be in the match. Dude tore his pants.
Well, you know what? He wound up hanging upside down, so it's probably better for him that he didn't wind up in the match. That does it for Tights and Fights. We are a podcast on the Maximum Fun Network. This week, our hosts are Danielle Radford and Lindsay Kelk, along with me, Hal Lublin. Anything you guys want out there for the audience? I have a show Saturday. Saturday, November 4th is Thrilling Adventure Hour. That is sold out. But Sunday, November 5th, 7 p.m. at the Moroccan downtown, we got this with Mark and Hal's doing a double bill with Can I Pet Your Dog? And our guest for We Got This is going to be Lil Janet Varney, returning for a second go-around, one of our favorite guests. You can get tickets for a discount right now. You can go to my website, hallublin.com, to learn more.
Oh, that's exciting.
I know, right? Do you have anything?
I do. I have a book you could buy if you wanted
if you
to
like
read.
Buys
she just keeps
book.
Buying. She yeah. keeps writing books. It's
I
so
keep
weird.
Doing it. They asked me to, and I did it. I have a book, and it's called I Heart Forever. It's a heartwarming, sparkling rom-com. If you can even believe it. It's got even more swears than this episode. So go crazy. Check out, yeah, lindsaykelt.com. All the info's there.
Danielle.
All right. So I am doing, as soon as this loads, I am going to be doing a benefit. You have time to buy tickets. I'm telling you all about this forever in advance. At Nerdmelt Showroom on November 13th, a very special occasionally show. It's a benefit for Trans Lifeline. So if you are in LA, the lineup for this is very, very stupid and good. It's like me, Jeffrey J., Riley Silverman, Rhea Butcher, Cameron Esposito, Olivia Hadar. This is a really good lineup, so y'all should buy your tickets. Okay, bye. Love you.
Our producer is the star of 155 Live, Julian Burrell. Senior producer at Maximum Fun is Laura Swisher. Mike Eagle is the voice behind our theme music. We're putting him over for that. Keep up with us all week long at facebook.com/group/tightsfights and at tightsfights on Twitter. And if you love the show, remember to hit those 5 stars on Apple Podcasts and share us with all your friends. Thank you so much to all the Maximum Fun members who donate to this show and keep the lights on when we're in here every week. And we'll be back next week for even more. You guessed it, wrestling.
Bye.
Bye, Hal.
Bye. Tights and Fights Podcast. Tights and Fights.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.